Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, November 15th, 2020. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and even Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. Give it a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it makes me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 464. There's no guest. It's just me sitting on my couch, ESPN on mute. There was just a L'Oreal Paris commercial with Eva Longoria on, and I kind of chuckled a little bit before I turned this on because Black Twitter is still mad at her. I don't know how long that's going to be for, but she... I talked about it last week. It just makes me smile. It's just, you know, I was cooking, as the homies from the Firestarter podcast would say. It's just me by myself today. Busy week for me. This is the start of a busy week. I'm going to make some Brussels sprouts at some point today. I'm going to use my steamer basket, and I'm going to try the big, like, there's these big Brussels sprouts, but I think what I'm going to do is just cut them in half, and I'm going to do that. I had a tuna fish sandwich before I started, put some bacon on it, put some swine on it, and I was going to make some salmon cakes today, but I might do that tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's all up in the air. It's a crazy, crazy life that I'm living here. I'll tell you a little bit about my week, and then I'll give you some movie and music recommendations. Proud Boy March. I didn't go to the Proud Boy March. So let me tell you about my week. I went to the Proud Boy March and came back to Jersey. Proud Boy March in or protest or whatever it was, and it just looked like a bunch of white dudes beating each other up on Black Lives Matter Plaza. And it was just the same clip that everybody was like retweeting and putting on the timeline and dunking. Oh, look at these guys. I mean, it's just so, so dumb. You know, but it is what it is. Trump won North Carolina. Biden officially won Georgia. And I think in Arizona. So it's pretty much, it's over now. It was over last week, but it's even more over than it was a week ago. So that's good. And I think the transition of power will be fine. There's a new vaccine that's that 90%. So that's something to look forward to as cases start to rise. Continue to rise. More people are dying. More people are partying. And it's fucking weird. I think it's just the fatigue of COVID that it's not over. And people are acting like that shit's not going on. Hospitals are filling back up. I think what they're not going to do is they're not going to, at least in New York, I don't know if they're going to open up the Javits Center again to bed people. I don't know. And I don't see the country shutting down again, but I don't know. I just hope everybody, I don't know. It just seems like every time that I go out, when I have to go somewhere, everybody's masked up, and doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'm in a blue state. So I don't know if that's part of it. I think it is. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm just an actor / comedian that likes to spew his voice out into the ether for a couple hundred people to listen every week. I don't know. So this week I had a couple auditions, a couple of virtual socially distanced auditions, which were pretty fun. This was this past week. And I got to, like, I did a monologue and I was making different choices as an artist. But I liked it. It was fun. It made me realize, I mean, I've always loved acting, but it just made me remember that I really do like this thing. I like doing what I do, what I've been able to do, what I've been doing since I was a kid, and whatever on whatever level. It was still fun to do. And yeah, I did that. I did a voiceover audition, which was cool. I don't know if I got silly with it, so we'll see. It was for a kids thing. It's for like some kids thing where you do different voices. So we'll see what happens. I'm just putting myself out there. I kind of do these things and forget. You kind of think about. I think about you because when you get the breakdown and you get the email from, when I get the email from my manager, it'll show you like what type of gig, who's the executive producer, who's, you know, the people behind everything that you're doing, and they show you how much money you can make, and it's like, oh shit, and it's like, that would be a good gig for a couple hours. That's really dope. And then, you know, you kind of daydream about the part a little bit, but then I think I've just gotten to the point where I don't stress it anymore. I just like, I want to do my as well as I can when I submit the tape, and that's it, you know, and get it when they call your number, be ready to go. That's pretty much how I look at it. And anything this year without catching COVID and shit is a win. So, you know, and it is what it is. Got my exercise bike put together yesterday, so I'm excited about that. Tested it out. Gonna really go hard this week, especially like the days that I work from home. Like after I'm done, after I log out, get my ass right on the fucking bike and just go. Funny thing, really crazy to me, was that he was supposed to exercise. The guy, the mechanic, what do you call it? The specialist, the Amazon bike put together specialist guy. He said, he sends me a message through Amazon. He's like, oh, you know, I'm going to be here. I can come at 12. He was supposed to come anywhere between 2 and 5. And I was just cleaning up my apartment. I'll get to that later. And I was like, sure, I'll be here. And so he gets here like right a little before 12. And he's staring at me. He's like, you got any dogs? I was like, no. And I was like, it's just me. And I wore my mask and everything, and made sure he had the space to do what he needed to do. And he's like, you look familiar. And I was like, well, you know, I've been on TV a few times, and I have my mask on. And then he's like, I'm a comedian. You might have seen me in New York. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, I remember you. And he told me one of my jokes. Like, he didn't have it word for word. He said, but you had the joke about the newscaster keeping the girl in the basement. I was like, yeah. I was like, wow. And I was like, man, that was from like at least 10 years ago or something like that. It was from a long time ago. And he remembered that bit. He was like, yeah, yeah, me and my lady. He took, you know, I was like, oh, shit, man. I was like, crazy. Because I have, maybe he remembered the, maybe because he did see that my name on the thing, and maybe he remembered that. But he's like, yeah, man, if I see somebody I like, I look them up, man, and I stay, you know. I was like, oh shit. So I told him about my album, Failed Running Back. I don't know if he's gonna listen to it, but he was cool. Hooked the bike up, showed me what to do, all that stuff, and it's funny. I would say something not about the guy who put my bike together, but it was like a family, an inside baseball family thing that because I don't know who listens. You never know who listens. So I would say it, probably say it on Patreon. But that made me feel good, like, because I kind of again, like I was feeling, I had one of those days where I was feeling, ah, man, you know, I was thinking about something, family stuff. And then for him to say that, and that just this hap, that sort of happenstance was really fucking neat. I thought that was cool. So that made me feel good. Now I'm officially an iPhone owner. I have my iPhone. I've had it for almost 3 days. I got it on Friday, late Friday afternoon. I like it. It's good. It's the same size as my Samsung S9 that I had, and I traded that in, and they gave me $700. So that took a lot off the phone. So I don't know if you have AT&T, and I'm sure it works across providers. You might have this opportunity if you're thinking about getting a new phone. And you have a good phone that you can get at least $700. You can get up to $700 to, you know, trade it in. And if you're thinking about worried about the price. So I ended up, you know, having a good deal. And it's a good phone. I mean, this is my first iPhone and I do like it. And it made me remember, like, I do like Apple products. I mean, I had an iPod for a long time, almost 10 years before I just switched over to just paying for a music service like Tidal. I feel like I'm the only person that has Tidal. Everybody else has Spotify. They pay for Spotify. I just have the regular account because I listen to Rod and Karen on Spotify. But I'd been listening to them before they made the exclusive deal. But yeah, I listen to some podcasts on that, and then I use other apps to listen to other shows. But yeah, I like this phone. I like the iPhone. Hopefully, within the next year or so, I'll get a MacBook and try to do that ecosystem thing. One of my buddies called it an orchard. Once you get all these Apple products, but I think I just want a MacBook. I had a MacBook. I had an Apple computer when I was a kid, and that I didn't utilize it to its fullest extent because I was 8, you know. So, but I do like it. I think I gotta. I don't know the keyboard that took some time to get used to, but then I realized I've been using SwiftKey on Google, and I like SwiftKey a lot, so I just switched that over. And now typing's not as bad, not as I'm good with typing on it. The next thing I just realized that was kind of different is just the alarm. So with the Android, you could set alarms where, you know, like I want to wake up at 5 o'clock on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I want to wake up at 6 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday. Like, I don't know if it could do that yet. I'm sure it can, but I just have to figure it out. Everything else, like I went on YouTube and looked at the app, the move to iOS. One thing that scared me though, I was off on Thursday and Friday because I needed a vacation. I just needed some time to myself to not have to do TPS reports. And I know when I log in on Monday, it's like, it's going to be my email is going to be lit, but it is what it is, man. I just enjoyed just not having to do it. You know, I mean, with everything going on the whole year, with the exception of, cause my manager did tell me, he's like, you know, you could make sure you use your days. You got some of them you have that are like use them or lose them and you're not going to get credit for them. And I was like, oh shit. So I looked at my days. I was like, okay, I got enough to kind of chill on this, you know, take a couple days off here and there. And so without that, before then, with the exception of The Last of Us 2 coming out in June, I had been like going and not really taking any time to just come off of just the daily grind of logging in and, you know, staring at a laptop for 9 hours. So yeah, I was glad to take some time off, even if it's just to be at home. Cleaned up my apartment. There's still more that I want to get rid of, but I got rid of a lot of junk. I was thinking about selling some CDs, and then I was looking at them and thinking about the memories. I was like, I don't want to get rid of any CDs. I was thinking about taking them to the Princeton Record Exchange. There's only like a handful that I would have taken down there. And I'm just kind of like, no, I'm not gonna. I'm just, you know, I bought this big trunk from Crate and Barrel maybe a year ago, and I had some stuff in there. And I was like, let me put some more stuff in here and just, you know, and I did consolidate a lot of stuff, made more space. And now my apartment's a little more spacious. I might have like a little nook where my desk, I cleaned off this desk that I had. So I might try to just make that my home base for my podcast studio. I'm letting you guys in on this episode. I know some of you wish Chris just had a guest so he could bounce his ideas off of. I wish he just had a guest this week. But you know what? This is what you get when you don't pay for the show. And when you don't have a host that's borderline racist. So that made me feel good that I actually did some stuff. Clean some stuff up. I still want to clean up more, but I for now, like it's pretty good. And I'm also thinking about getting an area rug. I think I need an area rug. I got to figure that out too. So that's the next thing. You think I've lived here for a long time, almost like in this place, like 13. Wow, Jesus, I'm old. 13 years. And maybe I'm kind of want to decorate, you know. I have a candle lit right now. It's really nice. It's like a cloudy, overcast day, and I got a candle going that I hadn't lit in a couple days and in years actually. And so I just like I had a some matches that were and I'm burning a candle, like a moth to a flame burned by the fire. My love is blind. Can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes. Remember that, guys? Janet. So I got to get some candles. I got to get another candle. And I talked to Selena Kopic about that. I don't know if she still does a candle podcast. Shout out to Selena Kopic. Yeah, so I'm trying to. I don't know if I'm getting a domestic. I'm still a fucking guy. But I'm just trying to spruce the place up a little bit. I'm just having nicer smells in my apartment instead of just like grease from putting shit in my skillet, you know? Stuff smelling like salmon. Okay, let me just get off that. But yeah, so I did that, and where was I going with that? I was talking about the iPhone. I do like it. It's fine. The guy that sold... Oh, I was going to tell you. I went in a couple weeks ago when I found out, you know, just what deals I could get with this trading my phone in. And the Pro Max was not out. I have an iPhone Pro Max. And the guy was telling me, he's like, you know, I was like, yeah, I have a Samsung. And I think, you know, I want to switch to an iPhone. I just want to try it, and I could use FaceTime to talk to my parents. And the guy was like, "Just get an S20. You're gonna hate an iPhone. I got the iPhone, and I hate it. I hate it." And he switched, and you know, and I was like, "Damn, is that bad?" And he's just like, "I hate it. You're gonna hate it. You're not gonna be used to it." And the other guy who had serviced my phones over the years was telling me, he's like, you know, it's fine. You know, you can get an iPhone. It's whatever. And I was talking about switching my apps and my data and all that stuff. And it's like, it's not that hard. You'll get used to it. If you want to get the Pro Max, you have to wait. It comes out November 13th and you can pre-order in a couple weeks. So I went back last week and everything like that. So that guy wasn't there. And I got a text message early Friday afternoon, like probably like 1 o'clock, and it said your phone has arrived. And then I called the store and it's like, we got to go through the boxes and all that. And they were just kind of just blowing me off. I said, well, let me chill till they call me back. And they didn't call. So it got around to like late, like 4:45, close to 5 o'clock. I said, let me just call and see what's up. And they said, yeah, it's here, you know. And I just went, I said, okay, I'll go over there. Then it was starting to get crowded and there were people coming in and all this stuff. And I was like, ah, shit. And the guy that told me not to get the fucking, told me not to get the iPhone. He's in there. He's helping me. And he's like, okay, so you got to, I told him I got the move to iOS app and all that. And he said, yeah, it's going to take, the phone started, you know, the status bar was like, oh, this is going to take 10 hours. He's like, it's not going to take 10 hours, but you got a lot of stuff on here. And it's going to transfer over. And so I'm just waiting there. And then people are starting to come in and people are getting off of work and they want their new phones. And I was like, yo, I was thinking to myself, man, if I'd have came, just went there, got there at like one, just went there earlier in the afternoon, I wouldn't have had this problem. I wouldn't have been like felt, I would not have felt as if I were being rushed. So eventually he just, a couple minutes go by. He's like, okay, just take your phones home. Take both of them home and just keep them close together and they'll charge and it'll switch over. And I get home. I had to make another stop. I get home and it's going like 10 hours. Then I try to turn the Wi-Fi on my phone, my Samsung. And then it just stopped and it was like, oh, there's been an error. And I was like, oh, shit. They're like, what? And they're like, what's the passcode? And I was like, ah, shit. The iPhone was asking for a password or something. And I was like, oh, shit. I was about to go back down there. I wasn't going to cuss the guy out, but I was just going to be like, yo, this isn't working. Then I found out that that there was a code that was on there. And then it just restarted. And then like an hour and a half, 2 hours later, everything that was going to transferred. I had all of my apps. I just had to log back in and everything seemed to be cool. And it was fine. It's just like, see, now my neighbors, one good thing, I don't know if this baby is here all the time at the apartment. The baby's crying. So if the baby's crying, that means there's not going to be any loud music today. If the baby's not here, then there's going to be probably loud music, you know, especially like on the weekends. So thankfully hopefully the baby's here all the time, all day at least. Sorry about that. If you're new to this show, there's a baby that sometimes is in the apartment below me when that, and the mom and the baby's mom and dad fight every so often and it's really intense. And, I think if it wasn't for the baby, they probably wouldn't be together. They both have BMWs, which is pretty interesting. And they live in this. I mean, this isn't a bad neighborhood, but it's like if you have a BMW, I don't know, you think that you wouldn't live in this apartment? You probably have a townhouse. I don't know. I'm not into anybody's finances, but whatever. What do I know? I'm just a guy, you know. Where was I going with that? And it did work. So my iPhone worked fine. The apps, everything's cool. I'm used to it. It's fine. I don't see any. And I'm not like one. And I guess, I guess now I'm officially like the rest of you lemmings. And I guess I can laugh or at people's texts on iMessage or something. And you can emphasize somebody's text if they say something. The camera things look cool. I haven't taken any pictures or anything yet. Yeah, but overall it's fine. And so I took it back. I took my Samsung back yesterday. And I had already bought the case. I got the silicone case from Amazon and I ordered a dongle and an adapter so I could put my wired headphones in there. And eventually I'll get some wireless headphones. I did buy the wrong lightning cable. I bought a 6-foot lightning cable that doesn't work. It's a lightning to USB, and it's not the lightning to USB-C. I think the USB-C is what I needed. So I can take that to work and hook it up to my computer at work and charge my phone. But that's a long ass cable. So I just spent $16 for that shit. And I have the short cable, the lightning cable that goes to my wall. And I got the power brick, and it's short as hell. I like the long cable. I don't know. That's a real first world problem. All right. Okay. So comedy news. I wanted to just say RIP to the Creek and Cave, the Creek and the Cave, which was a comedy venue in New York City. It was in Long Island City, but you know, you can call that Queens or whatever. It was run by Rebecca Trent, and she's a staple in the New York comedy scene. And she had that place for 14 years. And I did a bunch of shows there. They had this series called Week at the Creek, where every day, in the early evening, I think I did shows around 7 o'clock, and you had an hour to do whatever you wanted, to experiment, to run a headlining set in front of whoever came. I did that, I believe, in 2017. And I did a bunch of shows running my hour because I was in the process of trying to put together an album. And I did that. I had Brandon Collins open. I had Courtney Farrington open. I had Ariel Lieti do a set. And it was fun. It was like I got to just, and sometimes there were two people. One time there was one of my buddies from grad school got to see me do my act for. He had a special private event for him. Like he was a sultan. What do you call it? A sheik or somebody that's like super rich and you do shows over. You go to Dubai and do stuff. Do perform for him. Whatever. But I did, you know, sometimes that place would be packed. Sometimes it wouldn't be. But it was definitely like, and it spawned careers. It helped, you know, people like Donald Glover was doing shows there. Eric Andre, some people that you know in the New York comedy scene, you know, like Aparna Nancherla. I remember we recorded an episode of this podcast at the Creek. I think I did quite a few at the Creek, actually. I did an episode with Will Miles, Jenna Friedman, Aparna, and I think maybe that's it. But it was a place for comedians to congregate, to perform. It was basically the Ellis Island of the New York comedy scene. It's like, give me your tired, your funny, your weird. Rebecca took them all, you know, and she gave us a place to work on our craft, and it was a time where that was the only place that you could really get up and experiment. You know, that was they called it a comedy clubhouse. Some people called it that. You know, it was just it was really great food. Pinball machines downstairs. It was just a great fucking place, man. You'd always see somebody that you knew when you walked in there. And it was a great refuge from the real world, but it was one of those places where, like, you know, especially like for me, like I had a day job and I was doing what I would do for 8 hours and all that jazz and work the day job. And if I had a show there, you know, I was like, I would be finally get a chance to be with my people and to catch up with them and, you know, shoot the shit, hang out and perform. Yeah, it was always, it was like a beacon for comedians in New York. And it'll be missed. Like Rebecca, did a lot. Rebecca Trent did a lot for the New York comedy community. And, it's sad to see it go. I remember doing, my favorite show to do there was, this show called Death Comedy Jam that Justin Williams, friend of the pod, and, Akash Basin used to co-host, and it would be like a late show. I think it was like, if it wasn't a 9 o'clock, it was at least a 10 o'clock show, a late show on a Wednesday night. And sometimes I would do that show when I was a lot younger. I would go to work the next morning, but sometimes if I got booked on that show, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take the next day off. And I wouldn't get drunk or anything. They used to give out free Tecate beer. And we used to do those shows and it would just be chill. It's like, I just knew like, it's going to be a late night. I'm going to do that show, kick it, and really get to hang out with those dudes and, have a good time, not worry about the time going back to work the next day. I remember doing that a couple times. Yeah, man, it's sad to see that place go. And I hope Rebecca, I mean, I'm interested in seeing what she does next once COVID ends. But that's another one of the casualties. They say that's the first club to go under during COVID. But I thought Dangerfield's closed also, which was in Midtown, Upper East Side. I don't know if Dangerfield's I think that location did close. They say that they're going to open up somewhere else. I'm not 100% sure about that, but that place wasn't as inclusive as, at least during my time here, it wasn't as inclusive as the Creek and the Cave. And saw the homie Brandon Collins get married there a couple of years ago, which was a beautiful experience that I cried at. Yeah, man, so many memories in that place. And you know, comedians, people will always talk their shit, but about, oh, it was XYZ. And I mean, you know, and oh, what else did I do there? I did, people always gonna talk their shit, but I like to kind of, you know, talk about the positive stuff. Courtney Farrington and Shalewa Sharp, both friends of the podcast, they did this series called Thug Passion, where they'd have comedians reenact different movies, and I was a part of that. I did one a few years ago. We did we did New Jack City. And that was fun. That was like a late Friday night show. It was fucking fun, man. Just having a good time there. It was always fun. Yeah, man. If you do something long enough, something like stand up long enough, you're going to eventually run into places that you loved closing down and business changing hands, venues closing. Like I always talk about the green room at the Arlington Draft House, which is one of my favorite places that I got to perform at as a young comic. And now this one, the Creek, you know, I was not there a lot over the year. I was there enough to miss it. You know what I mean? But it was not a constant for me. But it was a place that I felt like I was accepted. And Rebecca was one of the first people to give me a shot, an opportunity in New York City, getting my first Montreal audition. She was responsible for that. She had also was a booker of one of the bookers for, oh my God, Cabin. Show What was that show called?
Oh God.
The nerds are gonna, you guys are gonna get mad at me, the comedy nerds, that I can't remember the name of that place. I remember the show was called, the venue was Cabin. I mean, that just used to be the show. And that was like a cool, like, everybody knew about it, but it kind of had a speakeasy vibe because it was a bar. And then they had this back room that was just, that was like really cool. And you just really kind of a small room and you go in there and do your thing. So places closed down. It's just sad. It's sad that it went on, and it kind of had been kind of, you know, there was talks of the place closing for a few years, and it just finally happened, and it fucking sucks. But that is the business, and it's going to be interesting to see what the New York comedy scene looks like now post that. I remember a year or two in, for me, I talk about it a lot. You've probably, if you listen to this show long enough, you remember me talking about Comics, which is a club in the Meatpacking District that was one of the first places that I went up at. I think that might have been the very first place that I went up at, actually. And they're in the downstairs room. I never got to perform upstairs in the main room, but that was the downstairs venue, Ochi's Lounge, where I would do open mics, and that was kind of like the safe space, the incubator for a lot of the downtown comics in New York City. I remember that being like a really special place, and that I could go to, and then I just found like then that closed. And then it was kind of like the Wild Wild West. And then I guess the Creek, in a lot of ways, grew to become that home base for a lot of people, that safe space where you could, you know, work on your material. And it was definitely a staple in New York comedy. It's definitely a place that I, you know, one of the places that I cut my teeth. It really fucking sucks. All right. Moving on. TV shows. I think earlier this week when I did, this past week I talked a little bit about Killing Eve. I finished season 3 and I really did like it. And I think it's supposed to come back. They're going to have a season 4 whenever, you know, that happens. For all I know, they could be filming that shit now. So I did like that. So I finished that. Then I started watching, shout out to, Sarah Tolomash from Vag Podcast. She had tweeted about Servant, the new show on Apple TV Plus. It's not new. It's been around. They did one season. It came out last year. This show. Okay, here we go. I'll read you the blurb. A Philadelphia couple is in mourning after an unspeakable tragedy creates a rift in their marriage and opens the door for a mysterious force to enter their home. This show is produced by M. Night Shyamalan. It's billed as M. Night Shyamalan's Servant. He's the EP. Well, written by Tony Basgallop, who executive produced alongside M. Night Shyamalan. So this family in Philadelphia, the wife is a news reporter and the husband is a chef. And they have a tragedy where they lose their baby. And Lauren Ambrose plays the mother and Tony Kebbell plays the husband. And Lauren Ambrose, she has this, like, I guess, kind of goes into this catatonic state where she believes that the baby is still alive. And so there's this form of therapy where they give her a doll to take care of the baby, to take care of it. And she believes it's a baby. And they get this nanny that comes in who's kind of weird. And she's just very mysterious, and she's with the baby for a little bit, and she's like making this like makes this like wooden cross that kind of reminds me of like something out of the first season of True Detective, like this arts and crafty cross, hangs it over the baby's bed, and a couple days later it's a real fucking baby and it's not a doll anymore. And the husband realizes this, and the rest of the show, the husband finds this, it happens, the husband finds out and he's freaking out, and the rest of the show, the rest of the season is basically about him trying to figure shit out, and then all the weird changes that happen in the house, and there's some flashbacks, there's some other entities involved, and it's a good show. It's very interesting to watch, and they're doing a season 2, which is coming out in January, and the episodes are only about a half an hour long, so I watched it over the course of a day, because I was off, and I just had it on, and definitely while I was waiting for my phone to sync up, to transfer data and all that, I was watching it. Yeah, so it's interesting. It's Jeff, definitely. What's wrong with me? Interesting show. It's fun. Good acting. Yeah, so check it out before, if you have Apple TV Plus, check it out before season 2 starts in January. The next thing, what's the next thing I want to talk about? Let's do some music, and we'll do some movies, and we'll get the boop out of here. Nicolay has, from the Foreign Exchange, one half of the Foreign Exchange, released a new EP on Friday, this past Friday, called Lights in the Sky, and it's just a 4-track EP that it's Nicolay. If you like Nicolay, you're gonna fucking like it. What can I tell you? Very shit. It's dope. You know, if you like his production, if you like his music, I think you'll be into it. It's a good vibe, man. I appreciate Nicolay's work, man. He's dope. And I think Fonte's on the last track. All the more reason to check it out. Try to see what the name. Yeah, it's 4 tracks. Yeah, Fonte is on the last track. Lights in the Sky, the title track. Yeah, man. It's every time Foreign Exchange, anybody from that outfit puts something out, it's great. It's 15 minutes and 52 seconds of flames. And I think it's like the first in a series. I don't know if it's a trilogy or what. I remember a tweet about it or something, but I think there's more to come with this. So let me give you another recommendation. Homeboy Sandman. He's a New York MC. He's from Queens. And he's just one of those indie guys that's been around for a while. And every time I've seen stuff, I was just like, okay, that's all right. And I just started listening to him. I think this video came up on my YouTube. The algorithm on YouTube made this video come up where he was going to jump across the roof. Now I'm gonna have to go into YouTube. You know, I set up a bunch of tabs. I don't want you to think I'm unprofessional. I did set up a bunch of tabs, and I just was trying to, oh my god, I'm trying to figure out what this. He did like a mini documentary about him training to jump across the roof from one roof to another, and it was about 7 feet or so. And I'll find the name of the video. Homeboy Sandman, Don't Look Down, aka Free Dolo, official video. It's like a 12 minute and 45 second documentary. He's got a record on his new album's called Don't Feed the Monster, but he's got a record called Don't Look Down. And so that's kind of about him conquering his fears and jumping across the roof. And because if he didn't make it, he's like a tall dude. He's like 6'3", 6'4". And it's, I really think he's, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but you didn't hear about some New York rapper that's dead because he jumped across the roof. But he's, I like his stuff. He's kind of like one of those mellow music group guys, Stone's Throw guys. I think he's had records on both labels. He's just good. Just a talented dude. I fuck with it. So I was playing 2K on Friday with the Wizards. It's so funny because I still occasionally I'll do PS4 share of a game that I'm playing. Like I'll share a photo on Twitter and people were asking, "Oh, is that a PS5?" I was like, "No." And I think the homie, I think Jeremy Peloton Poppy had tweeted me. I was like, "Nah," and I posted a little emoji with the tear coming down. But it's still, that game, it still looks good. It's on a PS4 Pro. It's like you can't just throw fucking PlayStation 4 away, because that was a great system. It is a great system. I'm trying to size the PS4 because I don't have no 5 yet. But I mean, this generation, that generation of systems were fantastic. The games are great. That's why you see Spider-Man, Miles Morales on the 4. Like on PlayStation 4, Horizon Zero West is going to, Horizon Forbidden West is going to be on PS4. What the hell? Horizon Forbidden West is going to be on PS4. There's a couple other games that are coming out that are going, because you can't just throw away the millions of people that own that system. Eventually, I'm going to get one. But I'm going to have to figure out a setup if I get like a monitor or something where I can have one of the systems in my bedroom. Just the, because people seem to play. I think just the YouTubers mainly play at their desk. Like I think like the homie Tajay, the people that I see, like Alana Pierce, it seems like they play on monitors. But then there's people like Greg Miller that looks like his setup, because you can see certain people's setup where he plays on a big TV and he probably sits on his couch when he plays. Like I do. Like I sit on my couch and I play. Like I used to sit in my chair, like a chair, then I'd be in front of the TV drooling and mashing the buttons. But I sit on my couch. But I think some people do, I don't know, depending on whatever the setup is, but I got to figure something out. But I'll get one eventually. Shout out to everybody that got one. I never knew so many people that cared about video games since, I guess maybe the pandemic did it. But everybody's like flexing with pictures of their PlayStation 5. People that I never seen a tweet about the system that are flexing. And I'm not really jealous. I'm not. I'm an adult. And I am not jealous of people that have PlayStation 5s now. As a commercial just popped up, play has no limits. We'll put more of them in the store, you know? But COVID, you know, COVID kept the supply down. I think when it first came out, when the PS4 came out, I think it was a lot easier. I'm hoping after Christmas it'll be easier to get one. Maybe like maybe by the time my birthday comes back around, which is in November, December, then 3 months. Hopefully, you know, hopefully in a couple, 3 months, I'll be able to get one. I'm good. I think I need to, I always say this, I need to get back in Ghost of Tsushima. I need to get back into that. So we will see. But yeah, Homeboy Sandman's good. Back on fucking track. I like his stuff. There's more that I want to check out. All right, let me do some movies, three movies I'll talk about, and then we'll wrap it up. The first movie that I want to talk about is this movie called Definition Please, which is written and directed and stars Sujata Day from Insecure fame, Awkward Black Girl fame. I was really pressed to see this. I was really excited to see this. I found out about it. I follow her on Instagram, and I found out that she's got a movie coming. I was like, oh shit. And then I watched the trailer. It's like her own vehicle that she wrote, directed, and stars in. I was like, I was immediately intrigued. And it's currently on the festival circuit. And a couple of weeks ago, it was playing at the Philadelphia Film Festival. And I was like, bet, you know, so some of these festivals have like these regional geo codes or something. Like you can only see this movie. And so the Philadelphia Film Festival was like new. It was in Pennsylvania, Delaware, I believe, and Jersey. So I was like, okay, I live in New Jersey. I'm going to get a ticket. This was Halloween. This was like a few weeks ago. And I was excited. I was like, okay, I'm recording a podcast that day. And at night when a movie comes on, I'm going to have like my little adult beverage, and I'm going to have my snacks. I'm in it. We doing it. And so it gets to the time where for the movie to come on. And I press play, and it said, this film will not play in your region. I was like, what the fuck? And I kept trying it. I refreshed it. Nothing. I was like, I live in New Jersey. Come on. What are you doing? Nothing. So I just took the charge back. I contested the debit or whatever on my card. And I guess I got refunded or whatever. And I was just bummed out. Like, I wanted to see the fucking movie that I was excited about and the movie that I paid to see. And I was like, man. And then there was another festival that was at Penn State. And it said, oh, you know, this always played. Like, I think it was like, you can see this. I think it was like, you could see it in every state you could see it in. Every region or whatever, or it might have just been a region that I could see the movie. And it said every movie in this festival except Definition Please and this other one. I was like, fuck. Because I wrote to the that film festival, and I was like, would I be able to see this in New Jersey? And like, no, it's like exclusive or whatever. I was like, all right, whatever. Thank you for your time. Then last night, I'm sitting here in the crib watching a movie on Hulu, and just happened to just be playing with my phone a little bit too. And I'm on Instagram, and I see, because I follow the movie's Instagram, and I saw where, oh, this is at the Philly, this was at the Philadelphia Asian American Film Festival. I was like, oh, okay. I clicked on it. And it was like, this movie is available in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, and Delaware, or what have you. And I was like, bet. If this don't work, I'm stopping what I'm doing. I'm watching this shit. Put the money down, put the 10 bucks down, hooked up the HDMI from my laptop to my TV. I was in, and it started playing. I had my apple, my hard cider. What do you call this? East ciders. Had some pineapple, Austin East Siders, pineapple cider. And I was watching it, and I really enjoyed it. So this movie is about a former spelling bee champion who is living at home with her dying mother. And she kind of just teaches tutors spelling bee kids. And that's all she does in her in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Pittsburgh. And she's just kind of living her life that way. She's been to college. When the movie starts, she gets an offer to be like a lab technician or something in Cleveland, which is a good opportunity, a good job, way better than what she's doing now than just being a tutor. And I don't want to say too much more, but she is, and she is Indian, an Indian American woman. And did they say that her estranged brother comes home to celebrate the anniversary of their father's death, and then things take place after that. And it's just like it's just a family dramedy, and it's basically a love story about us between a sister and brother. And it's a very interesting story. It's told from the perspective of an Indian American woman, which is something you don't get to see a lot. And I like the fact that I liked who her love interest was not a white man. I like that. And yeah, it was just a good, wholesome, solid fucking movie that I really appreciate. That's some of my favorite movies. As much as, like, you know, you have your sweeping epic dramas that they have, you know, during award season that are at all these film festivals, A Triumph of Courage. But this one's just like, nah, it's about a person that's kind of dealing with their shit, got family shit that they're dealing with, and trying to better themselves as a you know, just as a person. And they happen to not be white. And I really appreciate when I see stories like that. It's just a fucking good, solid movie. And I think so. It's currently on the festival circuit. If you're a nerd like me, wherever you live and there's something going on, maybe you can check it out. But eventually it's going to get bought and it's going to be distributed probably on one of the streaming services, and you'll get to see it. And I mean, that the same thing happened with a movie that I like that Regina Hall was in, Support the Girls, which was very good. I'm trying to think of some other Premature is another film that I saw recently. I saw last year at the Montclair Film Festival that, you know, premiered there. Just a good, solid ass movie. And it's now on that one's on Hulu. So it's quite a few. I think quite a few that I've seen. I don't know. Definition, please. Just be on the lookout for it. It's really good. So I was so happy that I got to see it. I was just like, I had a good day. Yesterday was a good day, especially after the bike mechanic came in. And said he recognized me and remembered my stand up. So that was awesome. That's the second time in about a month, in less than a month, that people have said that. The pizza place that I go to, Kinchley's, every now and then I go there, and that guy knows me. It's so weird. The people are like recognizing me in my mask. And they still know who I am. I'm not fucking famous. It's not like I'm Tom Cruise in Paris going to see Tenet. You know, like, it's like, oh, they know me. I was like, nigga, you Tom Cruise. But like, for me, that's fucking awesome. That's crazy. I could probably count on one finger of the times where I've been recognized. You know, maybe I get to six or seven. Maybe. But wearing a mask, you know, that's crazy. And the guy, he was like, yeah, you know, because he's like, yeah, you know, I've seen you at. But this guy had remembered me before, though. He had remembered me at the pizza place before, but it still made me feel good. But I will count that as a second time somebody's recognized me. And I told both people, I was like, yeah, I got an album out. Go check that out. And they looked it up right on the spot. And that dude was not wearing a mask. So some of my fans don't wear masks. You can't pick them. They pick you. But they know I'm not racist. So how about that? All right. The next movie that I saw was a film called Gook. I didn't say it that way. That's the name of the movie, okay? You social justice warriors. Okay, the name of the movie is Gook. And it was written and directed by Justin Chan, who is an actor turned director. I think he was in the Twilight movies. Okay? So this movie, Eli and Daniel, two Korean-American brothers who own a struggling women's shoe store, have an unlikely friendship with 11-year-old Camilla. On the first day of the 1992 LA riots, the trio must defend the store while contemplating the meaning of family and thinking about personal dreams and the future. This movie was fucking great. I'd been putting this movie off for a while. Like, it was on my list, like on Amazon. I was just like, maybe it might have been on Netflix at one point or Amazon, but it's on Amazon Prime now. And I was like, oh, I heard about this movie. And I think maybe it was just like, oh, it's in black and white. I was like, okay, is this going to be like artsy or something? And I just didn't see it for whatever reason. And then because I was so excited to see Definition Please, I was looking at, listening to Sujata Day in some interviews. And she mentioned that Justin Chan was one of her friends and he inspired her to write and direct Definition Please. And I was like, okay, let me check this dude out. And so that's what I did Friday. And I think I did it maybe Thursday night. Thursday night I did it. This past Thursday. And I was blown away. I was like, this movie's getting good reviews and stuff. But I was like, damn. And it's funny because this movie came out in 2017, the same year as Columbus. And I don't know that I would be, you know, this would be giving Columbus a run for its money, definitely. But you can't really, they're kind of like apples and oranges. You really can't compare. But this would have been one of my favorite movies of 2017 had I seen it there then. And so that would mean two of my favorite movies of that year of recent memory would have been written and directed by two Korean guys, Korean American guys. That's a hell of a coincidence. But this was really fucking good. That's basically, the description is basically what I just gave you, but it's so rich, the characters, and it's funny. Heartwarming, the ending, I'm not going to spoil. I was hoping that it wouldn't lead to, I'm not going to spoil it. I would just say, see it for yourself. And you know, if you want to talk about it, just email me or something. I think I'm going to try to, what do you guys think? Those of you that give a shit, do you think if I started doing these, like Three Guys On and Rod and Karen do, like if I did this with like opened up a chat, would you guys like that? Would you guys like listen to me record or watch me record this live? And then you could ask me questions. It could be more interactive. If you're into that, let me know. I'm trying to make this more expansive. I'm trying to make it more of a fun experience than me just like talking on here. Because I'm not famous like Bill Burr. So Bill Burr he gets questions all the time. Me, I don't. You can only see me for 3 to 5 seconds in The Undoing last week. But next year, when those residuals come out, I'm going to be like, yes, Jesus. I'll be like, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. So I'm gonna be on that shit in another year. But right now it's like, hey, I was, you know, in a show with Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman. But anyway, Gook is fucking fantastic. It's great. See that. So that inspired me, like, because then Sujata was saying, yeah, you know, I was a Sundance fellow and I went to the Sundance Film Festival and Justin Chan was there, and you know, he said, just write it, you know. And then she said she came back a year or two later and he had a second movie. She was like, god damn, I gotta, you know, get on my shit. And so she wrote this really cool movie, Definition Please. So the second movie of I watched of his was called Miss Purple. And I believe this is his third film. And this film is on Hulu. And this is, I'll read you the blurb. A karaoke hostess reconnects with her estranged brother, forcing them to enter a period of intense self-reflection as their single father who raised them nears death. This was also good. I don't think it, if comparing the two, not as good as Gook, but it's a different story, but very good nonetheless. I did find myself caring. I did care what happened to the character. So there were moments where I was like, oh shit, don't fucking do this. Don't please. Oh God. Oh God. And you know, just really there's certain scenes where I was just like emotionally invested. Good movie. It's good. It's worth your time. I would say you can double, you should double, if you wanted to double feature it. I watched Gook on Thursday and then watched Miss Purple on Friday morning before I was doing whatever the hell I was doing. I think I had to run out somewhere. What did I had like, yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. So this was good. Almost like kind of like another brother sister story for the week. This week's films are about brothers and sisters, you guys. I didn't have one. I had cousins that were kind of close to me, like brothers and brothers when we were coming up. They were cousins. They were 2 years older than me. Good dudes, you know. You know, but when they got to high school, they were 2 years ahead of me. So they were older, but when it changed when we got to high school. But when we were kids, we were pretty close, you know. And I texted. I talked to one of them a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so I would say if you double feature it, start with Gook first and then Miss Purple. I hope nobody isolates me saying the title of that 2017 film that Justin Chan made, cause, and then try to cancel me. But you know, I have Asian friends. I have a Korean aunt, half Korean cousins. I have half Filipino cousins. One of my best friends, my closest friends, is Filipino. So I am not racist. If I was, I would be making more money on this podcast. So I'm saying that's the only reason that I'm the podcast isn't famous. That's so arrogant. Well, I guess I'm not making a lot of Patreon money because I'm not racist. So I'm a good person. So, I mean, but, you know, I guess I'm a good person. And then, you know, I can't get nobody. I don't even know. All right, guys. I think you've had enough. So that is the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to the Patreon. It's $3 a month. You would be supporting the podcast. You'd help me get like better equipment and stuff like that. And helps a lot. You get at least two episodes, two bonus episodes a month. And you can also buy Field Running Back, my debut stand-up EP. You can call it an EP, call it an album, whatever you want. It's out there. It's available. It's good. It's really good. You know? I don't know if you could hear that, one of my neighbors like slamming the fucking door. But either way, I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. I appreciate you, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.